Hi, I'm Elle Cleveland, and I'm 17, and I'm here with my mom, Leslie Cleveland. All right, so tell me about your high school experience, because I know you went to a couple different ones.
All right, first I'm going to answer as Leslie, not as your mom.
Okay.
So I was a very rambunctious teenager.
For a little bit about that.
And it was, not to give away my age, but back in the day when they didn't have like ADHD programs or stuff like that. So instead you would get pulled out and put in a classroom with all the bad kids if you couldn't sit still in public school. And then they would dumb down your lessons and you would get taught the same stupid stuff. So it was very easy to fall in with people that maybe you would not otherwise associate with. And I craved that. So I tended to come from a very preppy religious family. And in school, I tended to...
Anyways, you were saying a bad crowd?
So I tended to go towards kids that probably... We all made poor decisions. And so my freshman year, I went to one of the number one public schools in the country.
And what school was it? Do you remember the name?
Yeah, Centennial High School in Howard County, Maryland. And by the end of my freshman year, I managed to be asked to leave all of Howard County Public Schools.
And is there a certain action that led to that? Or was it...
I never was violent. I never broke any rules. I just... Well, I did break rules. But... I don't know. So, I left the public school system for a while. And I was raised in a very Catholic family. I spent every day, pretty much, in a Catholic community, in a Catholic church, even though I went to public school. So then my mom switched me to Catholic school. So I went from being in public school to being in an all-girls school. I stayed there for a year and a half when it no longer worked out. You know, I don't think we should talk about my high school years.
Okay. How about, I know you stayed in South Korea, but how long were you in? I've never known that.
My parents were there for 3.5 years. I was already in college, and that was a huge turning point in my life because I wanted to leave college and move to South Korea. I had friends from the U.S. who had just graduated from George Washington University, and they were over there teaching English, and I wanted to go over there. And I begged your grandmother to let me move over onto the base with them. I was only 20. I was 20. And my mom said no. She didn't want me to come. She wanted to go over. And being on a military base in South Korea is, from my dad's position, was kind of like being, he was the civilian head of the whole base. So he had a driver. They had cooks. It's a different kind of lifestyle over there. You go do a lot of social things, and you go to embassy parties, and you get to be with the international community, and I really wanted it. Once my mom got over there, she realized she didn't like being over there without my sister I, and she wanted one of us to come and asked me to come. But by that time, I was engaged to your father. So I did not go and live over there. I went over and visited a lot, stayed there, but I decided to stay in the States and finish my education. But it was a huge ordeal. My dad was ahead, and then he got picked to head up, be the civilian head in a base in Hawaii, which was a really, really big job, and it was an incredible job. They were given private quarters.
Did Papa take it?
Top of a mountain, he did, in Hawaii. And before he could ever get there, he got diagnosed with cancer. So he left the military. He left NSA after that.
Is there any specific you want to talk about that I might not know about you?
Yeah, I think that you don't know is that I had never planned on staying at home. I always planned that I would travel and have a big career and have nannies watching my children. I never, growing up and even in college, I never considered myself a stay-at-home mom type. And I think that that, if I could say anything plagued me, that is the one thing other than mother worries that you have about children that really bothers me is that I never had a real career. I had a degree, I have a few degrees, and I, you know, used them here and there for accounting or marketing, and but I never had a career. And I have the same girlfriends I had in high school, in college, and we've been friends for over 28 years now, and it's hard to see the ones that built these enormous careers that did both. Had motherhood, but they also had these huge careers. And they had different dynamics. One had a stay-at-home husband, and the other had a, well, she, I mean, sacrificed a lot when her son came. So it's strange to be at a point in my life where, looking back, I didn't have a career. And it's frightening to think of starting a career now at the same time.
What were you in before you became stay-at-home? I know it was something with accounting, but I've never known exactly.
I had an econ degree and a business degree, and I didn't like economics. And I didn't like accounting because I'm dyslexic. And it was just a lot of repetitive. The part of accounting I was in was very repetitive. It was running the same records every day for coal companies. And
where did you work?
James River Coal.
Is that still around, do you know?
It is now. It's downtown in Richmond. And, you know, Dad and I owned a company. Dad owned it, but I did marketing before that at a country club in Maryland. And I really liked it. But what I really liked was research. And I would have loved to have gone back into school and continued to get a degree in research.
You said you had a couple degrees. It's accounting, marketing, and econ?
I have an economics degree, economics and business. And then I have administrative degree and two others. But they're just 2 years degrees. Which back then, 2 years degrees weren't like they are now. You couldn't get, it wasn't like you had these incredible certifications that kids can get now.
What do you think of college nowadays?
I would love to be in college nowadays. In some ways I would not. I would love it because of the opportunities and the fields they have and the hands-on classes, even at the community college level that they have nowadays is just, I mean, what they have at John Tyler was what they would have had at a four-year when I was growing up. But I think the stress nowadays of the debt is horrifying. You want your kids to go to a good college, and then at the same time, Dad and I just finished paying off just his debt from college. Maybe 5 years ago. I mean, we were paying that forever.
Our whole life.
Miss Jessie will be paying her college debt off for years and years. I mean, it scares you because our college was a third a year of what your guys is. I mean, just at the state level, you know, never mind if you go out of state or if you're in the Ivies or whatever, it's unheard of.
What's something from nowadays teenage culture that you wish you had back as you were a teenager or think you would have enjoyed? What's something you think when you're young you would have been jealous or wanted to do?
I think, like, honestly, as a girl, makeup and clothing and inclusivity that kids have these days, it is so different than what we had. I feel like in some ways you all are way more savvy and mature than we were. But at the same time, I feel like streetwise, you all are kind of stupid and not at all savvy. I'm more grateful for not having had cell phones growing up. I'm really, really grateful for that. I'm so glad. I can't imagine people replaying my stupidity over and over again. It's bad enough and cringeworthy when you remember it yourself, but to have somebody be able to pull it up on the web would just be horrific. So I'm very grateful.
What's your favorite high school memory?
My girlfriends. I've always been really, really blessed, for lack of another word, with having really good girlfriends in whatever stage of life I'm in. In high school, I had girlfriends and we were all really close, and we went down to senior week when we were juniors and told everybody we were seniors, of course. And it was so much fun. We just drank and laid out in the sun and ate pizza and went to parties, and just, it was such a great time. And we would just laugh and laugh for hours at a time. I mean, my cheeks would always hurt the next day after hanging out with them.
What was your relationship with Aunt KK like when you were around my age?
So my sister and I are the same distance as you and Christopher are. And my sister is very preppy. And very, I guess what you guys would call nowadays on the spectrum. She liked everything just so. And we were just very opposite. She didn't like me at all, but she loved me. It's weird, as selfish as I make fun of her for being sometimes, she was very generous. She worked when I was in high, she worked always. She always had a job. We both had jobs, but before I had a job, she worked, and every time she got a paycheck, she would give me $10. She would just leave $10 out for me, $10 or $20 out for me, which, like, doesn't seem like a lot now, but back then, yeah, that was great. I mean, it was awesome. And I got in a lot of trouble, but she would try to, you know, help me out when I got in trouble. She was always very, you know, would pick me up treats or stuff like that. She was good about that. And she was always, but she didn't like me touching any of her stuff. But when I went to college, it really made a rift. Because she didn't go. She stayed at home. Well, she went, but then she came back home. So,
did Aunt KK ever finish college?
Yeah, actually, Aunt KK could be an astrophysicist if she wanted. She is a, she worked the whole way through, and she graduated one of the top of her class from Johns Hopkins School of Humanities, which you had to apply to, separately to get into the program. She's very smart. Which is why none of us can figure out why she married Uncle Russell.
How was your college experience?
The best.
And you went to where again?
I went to Frostburg State for 3 years. And then when my mom and papa moved to South Korea, someone had to move home because we don't have any family. And Aunt KK's heart's bad. So I went to Towson after that and graduated from Towson University. But Frostburg, freshman year was probably one of the most hard but a rewarding years of my life. I had never lived outside of my community and had a roommate and had to go to a cafeteria to eat meals every day, and it was a blast. It was scary and it was hard to adjust to, but it was so much fun. It just, you have so much camaraderie with people who are all there for the first time from different places, and they're all, you know, just, you have drama like you do in high school, but you kind of find your people. And I made the best friends of my lives that I'm still friends with. Jen, Julie, Kelly, Bully, Colleen, Rhonda, and Dina. You know, I still text with them every day on a text thing. Like,
we chat.
Yeah, we just, we're still all good friends.
So did you meet Dad freshman year, or?
I did, but I didn't date him. I picked my college like a typical girl. back then, I picked my college based on a boy I was dating at the time. So I went to Frostburg, even though it was like probably the worst pick for me. I went there because I followed my high school boyfriend was already there. He was older than me. And then after being there for a while, I broke up with him. And I was very much what everyone would call a prude. I didn't date. But I would go out with friends in a big group. And I pledged sorority. And that was a huge, like, a lot of the fun. And I met your dad. And he was leaving. He was a senior already. And we started dating. I knew who he was. And we started dating right after I turned 21, March after I turned 21, or February. And we got engaged the following, like, 6 months later.
How long were you guys engaged for?
Well, we managed to be engaged for about 4 years. We put off our wedding as much as we could. We had no intention of getting married. We were stupid and young and got engaged on a whim, and both of us were fine just living together. But we weren't mature, and we didn't, you know, we probably wouldn't have. We would have stayed engaged forever, except your grandfather got cancer and your grandmother. They came back from South Korea, and my mother insisted that my dad see somebody walk down the aisle before he dies. So it was me, because I was engaged. So we had to get married. And then your grandfather got better and survived another, 18 years.
What was your sorority like? What was it called?
It was a national one, and it wasn't the sorority I... Another funny story, it was not the one I chose. I had chosen another sorority that was kind of known for being like the perfect prissy girls. But the guy I was dating, who I'd followed to college there, wanted me to be in that sorority. And so I purposely went with one that I never would have picked in a billion years. And it ended up being the best choice of my life. They were all teachers. They were all starting to be teachers.
What's the sorority called?
Alpha Z Delta. And they were all really smart. I was not a book smart kind of girl. I didn't care about the book smart girls at that time. So it was totally opposite, and it was the best thing ever. They're all teachers or professors or, you know, business people. But it ended up being like the best group of friends I could have ever had. They really was, and it really is strange. You can go anywhere nowadays and network with people, and if you say you're with that sorority and the people there are with that sorority, you can get jobs. You can get, it is crazy how, but for the friendships, honestly, it's worth it. And the memories, like pledging, you just do a lot of crazy group activities, and some of them were really dorky, but they're funny and they're fun.
Do you remember, do you have one that was like a favorite?
Well, you had to get signatures every week. So if you were pledging, you had to get all 50 of the sorority sisters' signatures every week before your weekly pledge meeting, which means you had to find every sister.
Yeah.
And when you have classes and you're working and you're pledging, you're very scheduled. Like, they can call you out in the middle of the night and have you go serenade somebody, or they could... we had a lot of fun stuff. We had a lot of socials with other fraternities. We had a lot of, like, charity events. We, you know, most of it involved drinking. But getting signatures was always fun, because there would always be a sister who just didn't give a shit about pledges anymore. Like, she was older, and she was just trying to get out her last semester of school. But you still had to get her signature, so you had to track her down. And it would be the one who was the meanest or the nastiest, but also probably the most fun, because they would do something cool with you, like shots or play a game, a card game, or something fun.
Is there anything from your childhood you want to talk about? Or you think I might not know?
I think one of my best memories of my childhood that I didn't raise you guys with, and that you guys don't know, is that my mom, one, she's an incredible artist. And I really couldn't put it as in a context as a kid, but I do appreciate her art. But she was also we always served other people. That was a big thing. I mean, every week we would deliver food to people, or we'd go visit the elderly, or we would take our pets to read, or we would be at, you know, someone's house who was going through something, trying to help them clean their lawn, or she really felt that helping others was the best way to get outside of yourself. And it worked a lot, and it was really great, and it always made me feel good. I was always happy when we did stuff like that. And I really miss, like, not, I don't miss the Catholic Church, but I miss the community sense of it, that, like, there were other people, you know, you might not necessarily want to hang out with them all the time, but you liked them, and you all had a general thing in common, and you did a lot of good. And it was, I liked that a lot. And I always admired my mom's faith, even if I didn't agree with it. She always had faith.
So when was the first year you went to the beach with Dad?
We got engaged and I started going to the beach with him. So, right, I mean, when I was 21. So I've been going to the beach with them since I was 21 years old.
What was it like going from a small family to such a big family?
That was one of the things that attracted me to your dad, was that he had a big family and they did everything together. And I only had my sister and my cousin for a little bit growing up. So I always wanted a big family, wanted lots of cousins. And I always imagined that we would have raised you all in Annapolis and around your family our whole lives. We moved away. I thought we still went up there a lot. You know, when you guys were little, it just got harder as we had more, as the girls came along. But, you know, for the first, I mean, that my whole plan was to raise you all around them.
What made you move away from Annapolis?
Job.
All right. What was your favorite memory? Maybe from, do you remember your first beach trip with them?
Yes. So I was so, Haley was not even 12. And Michael is 3 years younger than her. And
I thought Michael was the oldest.
No, Haley's the oldest. And we were playing, they were all playing out by the pool, and the babies, girls were the babies then, Shannon and Jesse, the twins, and Molly, had all gotten up for their naps. They were little. They were not even, they were like 18 months old. So
the twins are Molly.
The twins were 18 months old. So they were all little.
Yeah.
And we were all playing in the pool, you know, tossing. And I'd never had anything like that, where like uncles and aunts and kids all played volleyball at the pool. That was like my biggest dream. I thought I was in heaven. And Haley yelled, "Shut up." And I never even winced about it.
Yeah.
Because I'm, you know, in college and stuff. And everyone at the pool stopped, her parents, the cousins, everybody. And she burst into tears because she knew she was dead meat for saying shut up. And it just is so funny to me. It shows like what a difference it was. You know, that it's just a totally different, they were such a wholesome family. And it was so much fun being around everybody. And you would stay up at night and play board games, and the kids always, you know, it was always fun doing stuff, like finding seashells and fishes and crabs with the kid. It was so much fun. It was like the childhood I never had. I loved it. Absolutely loved it, hands down.
What was it like with, what did you do with Aunt Sherry? Do you have any, like, memories, or did you guys have any traditions with her?
Well, so Aunt Sherry lived in Colorado when I was real little, and we would go out there, and I loved it. She lived on the side of a mountain, literally.
Doesn't she have the story about the FBI talking to her in Colorado or something?
So before I was even born, when, what's his name? Ted Bundy was a serial killer. She fit the profile, and they knew he was in an area of Colorado. She was in grad school there, and she was a bartender, and they knew he had been in the bar that she had been in. So they warned her. They were warning girls that fit the MO.
To get out.
That they didn't want them. They would warn the owners of the bars and the employers to make sure that somebody was always keeping track of these girls, because she fit the exact profile of who he would go after, which was really scary for her. She had a lot of run-ins with the law.
I've heard a little bit about that.
Yeah.
She was big into protesting, right?
Yes.
Did she ever take you to a protest?
No. I went to protests on my own in high school. We would go down for the abortion and pro-choice, pro-right, which was much to my mom and the Catholic Church's anger. But we would go down to those all the time in high school and protest. That was fun.
So did you guys have any traditions then? Okay.
Mm-hmm. She was very adventurous, and like she took us skiing, and she took us, you know, through the Rocky Mountains, and she always had something fun planned, or always took us to places we would have never have gone. She was very hands on. She was a hippie for the longest time. I mean, like VW bus.
I noticed.
And, yeah, total hippie and great. She's probably one of the last dying hippies, and. She was always real peaceful and fun, which was nice coming from our house to go to her because she was always just real relaxed.
When did she have Jenny? How old were you?
I was 12 when Jenny was born. And
oh, I didn't know it was that big of a gap between mm-hmm. you guys.
So I would babysit her. No, I'm sorry, I wasn't 12. Wait a minute. I was 12 when Nana died. No, I was 8 when Jenny was born. No, that didn't make sense either. Because they didn't move out here until she was 4, 3 or 4. 4. So, yeah, I think I'm 8 years older than her.
Did you ever meet Jenny's dad?
No.
Never really talk about him.
Mm-mm. Never met him. My mom met him. That's it. I've never
met
him.
So, was she already dating him?
They had dated. He had been married for a long time. He was older than my aunt. And they had been dating. And he wanted to get married. But his ex-wife was crazy and kept threatening my aunt. So my aunt broke it off with him. And he went back and got remarried to the wife.
Oh, good.
And then she stalked my aunt. That's why my aunt moved from Colorado to here, to Maryland.
Was your mom's yard always like that? Her backyard?
No, growing up, it was not
as
eccentric. Boyd kind of reined that in for a long time.
Okay, but so her yard wasn't always like that, but you said she did art. What was her favorite type? Or did she do it with you guys?
She did some with us, but she just was way before her time. Like all the reindeers you see in people's yards today, she used to make her own. Will make us make them chicken wire and lights, and I mean they hurt and they look tacky as hell, but they were actually really cool looking, and people would stop all the time and ask her for them.
Did she ever sell any art?
No, she never. I mean, back then it wasn't like today. You couldn't just set up a shop somewhere, and because of my dad's job, she had to be really careful of who she talked to and where she went, and. Really, it was out of the question for her to have any kind of career or job.
Yeah. Did you ever find out what Pop-Pop did exactly for the NSA? I know it's always kind of been, like, shrouded.
He was the janitor. Cryptology. He was a cryptologist, so he cracked codes for years, and he was recruited by them for computers when he was young. And he didn't want to do the computers, so they taught him Arabic. And during the Cold War, he would crack codes and work with, at one point, I know it's hard to understand, but at one point we were friends with the Afghanis, and we gave them the weapons to fight the Russians. In the Russian-Afghan war, and my dad would break codes and decipher codes that the Afghanis would get from the Russians, or also he would travel a lot. What'd he do?
Nothing.
Oh. And he would switch jobs a lot, and we were not allowed to know.
So I know you had the one dog and the one cat growing up, but I also know you had like a lot of different pets.
We had a lot of animals growing up. We always had dogs and cats. We always had one dog, and then we'd have two or three cats, depending how many my sister and I had figured out on adopting.
Why are you interviewing her?
It has to be a woman.
And not me.
Oh my god. Anyways, you were saying about your pets?
Okay, weirdo.
Is that recorded?
Yes.
Good. Your whole class should hear that. I'm much more interested.
I have to turn this into my teacher.
Good.
So I know, what was it? It was like, Cosmo was ours. Right?
Cosmo was yours. We had a dog.
Mindy,
growing up, who was a character. She would. Our neighbors all had dog doors, and so they would go out shopping or to the store, and they would come home, and Mindy would be asleep on their sofas or in their beds, like a little, like the Big Bad Wolf or whatever. She was always in someone's bedroom when they got home. They would come in, and they would call my mom and say, there's a dog in our bed that looks like your dog. And there would, Mindy, would, she'd get under the covers. She'd lay on their pillows. She'd lay on their couches. She'd take their other dog's food.
She really made herself at home.
She did. And then eventually our cat, Kwame, started following Mindy and going into one of the houses with Mindy.
Can I say something? Kwame used to sleep on top of Mindy. It was very cute.
That's your dad, because he can't handle everyone else getting interviewed and not him.
Never seen
him
like
so this. You had Kwame and Mindy at the same time? Then? I actually didn't know that.
Yes, and we had a cat named Fudge. And we had another cat
named Lacey. It was huge.
Ew, cat. What is that? Oh, it's just a hair.
And lived in the basement and had food cake all over it. They made me take it to the pound to kill.
Every time one of our cats would got older, we would make your dad, when
with
I started dating him,
down there.
Take the cats to get killed or euthanized when they
one
got old.
One cat was missing for a long time, and I was sure that it was dead in the basement. My mom thought...
Wait, I thought she buried all the cats in the backyard then.
We did. We would take them home. Well,
what a chicken hawk is, but it did not take the cat. It died in the basement. A lonely life. It's probably still down there. Mummified. When they pass and we have to clean the basement out, we'll find the dead cats. Put that in your paper.
Your dad, can you ask your dad one question so he feels good?
Dad, what was it,
yes.
What was it like? What was it like coming from a big family to staying with like mom's small family? Did you guys do any holidays with them?
No. We just stayed with my family.
So we did. Chris's mom, your dad's mom would never allow the holidays to be shared.
That's fair, I can see. All right, so I'm supposed to do as my last question, is there anything you want to share with me? Anything you've never told me you want to share with me, or any advice or something like that?
No, I don't want to share anything that you don't already know. Still a little young, old out. You can find other things out in life. I think you'd be surprised to know some things about your dad and I, about his business dealings.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So that one.
I think that you should know I've never been arrested.
Officially arrested.
Arrested? Yeah, I don't think I've ever been arrested.
Never been in the back of a cop car.
No, not a cop car.
Undercover? But so, the last question is just be like, if I were to die tomorrow, what would you would have made sure I'd known, advice style?
That it is so important that you, instead of focusing on the big picture, like, oh, what am I going to do for the rest of my life, that you're at such a great opportune age now where if you can just let go and not think that your next year, like your following year, has to be the next stepping stone for your entire life, you would be wise if you could pick a college based on the kind of life that you want to live, you know, not just where you want to study, but honestly the kind of people you want to surround yourself around and the kind of town you want to have to walk around in for 4 years, or the kind of, really think about that, because if you're happy and you're peaceful, the rest of it will all come, and I think that that's what you should do.
Thank you for doing this interview, Mom.
Love you.
Love you.
Oh, your brother. Can you answer that?